Hello, everyone. This is July 9th, 2023, our regular Sunday meeting. We are reading from the Book of Revelations. And we're going to be going through Article 1, which is the beginning of the section that is the revelations given to Mauricio. And I'm going to start on page 112, which is also with number 51. So last week we did quite a lot. And then I asked you guys just to kind of read up on the pages in between where we left off and here. I like this little section because it talks a lot about missionary work and how we're supposed to do it. And I thought it was good to go over that. So there's five verses in here. I think in the email I said 51 to 55 that we can go through. If we get further, that's fine. But I kind of liked that section. So starting with verse 51, let's just read that. Did everybody get a chance to read prior to 51? To kind of know where we're at. Oh, blank.
I have to say, I am not. I did not.
All right. Well, it talks about, the section we're not going to go over talks more about, I didn't read that part very well.
It's all right. We can go on.
Okay. Well, it did. There was one section there where it talked about having how to conduct the meeting. And that's where we had talked about the prayer and the hymn at the beginning and the end. And it also talked about the different weeks. And Mauricio had asked us to do this. I think this is where the Missouri group is doing a great job because they have the separate weeks. Correct, you do the week 1, 2, all the way through, right, Brother Bob?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's what's good. If you like that to listen to, you know, attend his group, because they do it that way, the Torah, and then each week has a specific follow that they do, fast and testimony, and then in number 49, I thought it was kind of cool, verse 49, when it talks about how the only recordings they had at that time were the scrolls, and you had to roll up one end and unroll the other end to get to the section that you wanted, and it was very difficult, and that was why so many people memorized the verses. And then they were considered the rabbis and the scholars. And that's how that came about. So starting in number 51, Steve, could you read 51 for us? Do you have that right there?
I think you're muted.
Sorry. I didn't check to look to see if I was hooked to the wagon before I left there. 51, I do not want you to record the words of the scriptures in your mind, but to be able to correctly handle the word of truth as you are moved by the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I don't understand what that is saying.
Well, my first thought is don't memorize it. Or at least that's what I perceive.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I think so too. Not to recite, although sometimes it's good to recite a good Bible verse or scripture verse if you have a good feeling about it. But it's more about the core of the message, I think.
The truth. The letter kills, the spirit makes alive.
Yes.
Yeah. This is harm. You do not see him. You only hear him.
Yes.
He's out there somewhere. He's
sharing wisdom.
Yeah. Love voice, you guys.
Voice from Great. Some place.
That's what too. I get too. So thinking about what memorizing the verses did for the congregation and the people who memorized them, how it kind of elevated them and made them into more rabbis. Then I think 51 kind of says that that's not the goal. We're not trying just to memorize, which makes me happy because I can't memorize anything. So I'm always lost. What else do you think it means?
I think more simply put, you might be able to milk that down into don't learn it in your head, learn it in your heart.
There you go. How many times have we been talking to people and they quote scriptures to us, just boom, boom, boom? What do you feel like when they do that?
It could be intimidating. I think what also going along with what Steve said is that it's trying to tell us to be in tune with the Spirit and follow the Spirit instead of being able to rattle things off and spout things out. Rather than have a prepared discourse or prepared presentation, that you're really needing to follow the Spirit. And if you got everything memorized, then you won't listen to the Spirit. You'll think you know it all.
Anybody else?
And that is the oil in the lamps. According to the DNC, that is the oil to listen to the Spirit.
Okay. Any other comments on that?
But still, I think it's sometimes good to, you don't have to quote it exactly, but this morning, Arm and I went, we are in Amsterdam, and we went to the church here. And we had our name tags on, and we could inform a couple of people that the angel Moroni came back again, and that the sealed book is published. So that was wonderful. And then afterwards, I was like, because you also get the reaction like, oh, but it's not from the prophet, so it cannot be any good, you know? And then it always comes to mind, in my mind, Acts 17 in the New Testament. And then Paul is visiting some place. And, people in a certain place, they don't like Paul to come. And then other places he is received with joy. And then it says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. So that attitude, that is great to share with people, you know, that if someone comes with some new information you might be interested in, that you examine it instead of saying, I don't want to read it because it's not from the prophet. So so sometimes it's good. I still want to memorize this verse, you know, that people can accept new things with joy and be curious about it also, because that's also a trait that is not very abundant here.
Maybe add, okay. I can add a little bit with what Brother Russell said about the oil, the numeric value of oil is 8. And what we learn now with the Brother Hurtak, the keys of Enoch, that's the 8th chakra, is between the 7 and the 8. So that flame, which testifies of the energy of the Holy Spirit, is symbolized with the oil and the effort we have to put in to squeeze the oil out. So I think that's interesting that we're getting ready for the blessings of the Spirit and to recognize that that's the essence, that we could go beyond what is written down and testify of the Spirit testifying. So thank you.
Valkia, what you said kind of reminds me of how there are sections that we've read that talks about, you know, don't cast the pearls to the swines, that the Lord will pick those that are wanting to know more. And they do it because they want to do that. And Harm kind of touched on 52A. So let's look at 52A a little bit, reestablishing the church. This is something that I'm sure Balki and Harm have run into. Well, even Steve and Bob, when they talk to people, because that's, I'm sure, the first question, well, is this a new church? And, you know, when we say it's the same one, they can't wrap their head around any of that. How can it be the same? So what are some things in this next verse that about at you?
Well, like when you
go ahead.
When you were saying that, it reminded me instantly of what Brother Mauricio said maybe 2 weeks ago about we have to look at the different churches as the different tribes, with all their different languages, their different customs, traditions. And yeah, just be united in that we all are different. And then also look at the fruits of the different churches. But that is up to people. So when he said that, it really changed my view of, oh yeah, so we don't have to be all the same, you know, not everybody has to join the Church of the Sealed Book Mormons, but we have to, gather and unite as much as possible.
So this reminds me, Balkia, of in the sealed book and the Acts of the Three Nephites, 14, which is the vineyard, parable of the vineyard. And if you go to 16, there's a section in verse 16 that talks about grafting. Again, the whole thing of the vineyard is the grafting. And it's so important to understand that. So there's the last, let me read the verse. I'll just read it. It happened then that the Babylonians came like branches of a wild olive tree to be grafted among the nation of Israel. For how much the main branches that were beginning to dry up were destroyed by the fire when the king of Babylon took captive many of the new and tender branches in order to graft them, according to the words of the Lord of the vineyard, I will graft them whithersoever I will. For though the nation of Babylon will perish, as it were prophesied, the owner of the vineyard should preserve its fruit from the mixture of races that would occur between the Jews and the Gentiles. Therefore, they were captives of this nation to fulfill the purpose of the Lord in the vineyard, to take from among the nations of the earth new and tender branches of the house of Jacob and graft them where it should be. And I think that we're bringing the churches together, but we're bringing everyone in between. All the tribes, like Becky said, all the mixture of races, the grafting and the adoption and the bringing together the different viewpoints of people, the LGBT community, the paying attention to the orphans and everybody. And then the Lord is going to go through and be able to graft into the sealed book those that know what they're doing. I mean, that have been pulled together since the beginning of time. If you go back to number 6 in chapter 14 also, it says, and if it were not enough, all their resistance to survive in critical and adverse situations, when grafted branches of a grafted olive tree, or when grafting branches of a grafted olive tree into a good olive tree, it is able to make them into good olive trees again, so that they are replanted as branches of good olives again. And I think that just is saying that from the beginning until now, everyone who's been anywhere on the earth and had survived all of these things, that they will be grafted and become, again, part of the good olive trees. I love the parable of the vineyard. I think it teaches us a lot. And I think that Article 152B is talking about how scattered we are and how much we need to be reaching out to everyone in any way that we can. Any other comments on that?
Can you guys hear me okay? I like what Belkia said about this seems to be talking about this idea of bringing all these different groups together, ultimately together as the community of Christ or his kingdom. And I had a question that I wanted to share with this group. If anyone has heard of the Church of Jesus Christ in Christian Fellowship, and the reason I bring that up is because they have accepted Lucio Berger and the sealed book as scripture, as part of their community, as part of their canon of accepted doctrine. And I don't know if it's like part of this gathering idea that people get, and maybe it's like just like an initial step, but I wanted to share that with you because that really struck me. It's like, wow, they have accepted this. And then he has a number of talks. David Kingston, I think, has a number of talks where he references the Brazilian movement and the work that's going on in Brazil. And I wanted to just share that with you. And they are, I was curious about this. And they have a scripture study group that's beginning on Monday. And so they have sent me an invitation. I'm going to go just because they're of their awareness of an acceptance of the sealed book.
Well, yeah, and David was going to go to Brazil and meet with Mauricio.
Wow. What is the name of the church?
Wow, I didn't know that. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ in Christian Fellowship. And so it's like, I know, that's all I know.
Fellowship, woo!
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about, seems like. Yeah.
Yeah.
and not be afraid of any new information coming in. No, just see what it adds to your life. Just test it and try it and see what it does. So that's great. Yeah. Is he going to be there at conference?
David Fairman. You know? Well, I think he should have already gone. We talked to Mauricio in April. He'd asked me about going down there, and so he was going to come. They were going to work it out. I would think he's already been down there, but I don't know.
What's his last name?
Fairman. David Fairman. Ferriman.
You have a contact number for him?
Yes. The phone number is 614-260-7238. And their website is cjccf.org. Church of Jesus Christ of Christian Fellowship.org.
I'll find out.
Okay.
Malky, if you're talking, we can't hear you.
I said David might get a lot of phone calls now.
We'll be okay.
Fine. I think he's quite open to that. I sent just a general inquiry in, and David answered.
Hey.
What's his background? Do you know TLDS?
Steve, what I read is he was LDS, but he was also connected with a lot of sympathy. He was in Ohio and had a lot of sympathy for the reorganization group. So he had a broad background coming into his experiences.
Let me read you this one little paragraph about him. I am currently in marketing. I work for a marketing firm. We have people all over the world who affiliate with the fellowship, but we've moved on an ecumenical movement. The money we bring in just covers the bills. It's labor of love. My main role is ministering to those seeking a personal relationship with God and helping to heal those suffering from what we call spiritual PTSD. We just called our head evangelist to start building the non-denominational church for the spiritually homeless. I am also translating the plates of brass and compiling scriptures. I have no interest in starting a church. I believe the church era is at an end, and we are moving from the church dogma and rage of men to the kingdom. I see the church as we, the saints. So anyway, that gives you a little bit.
You said he was translating plates of brass?
Yeah, I don't know where he gets the information to translate. I haven't really tried to look into much of his background.
I'll ask.
Okay.
Steve, I had a chance to read some of that. I jumped on it once I got this. Him accepting the sealed books, I started reading some of his stuff, and it is interesting. It's really interesting. And Steve, just as you know, one of the things that caught my attention is they have also accepted the writings of Moroni, which I shared with you.
You wonder where he got those. I'm always interested. I'll see what I can find out, and I'll get back with you all on that.
Great.
Yeah, may I just make one comment without really saying anything? Is that the interaction between Brother Fairman and the saints in the center place has not been positive. So proceed with caution.
Sounds like a point where it says reach out to people and then the Lord will bring in the ones that he needs. So I think that's what we need to do. And as Brother Pat Pratt would always say, if it doesn't bring light, then it is not of Christ. Anybody have anything else they want to say about verse 52?
Do you want me to read 53?
It's really very long.
Read a little bit.
Yeah, let's read down to, oh, it's almost all one sentence. Go ahead and read it.
Okay. All right. Therefore, if you are faithful and diligent, this work will take on the dimension that I have revealed to you. Before, however, that they come to sign the United Order, according to the model that I revealed to you, followed by the speech of each week, a time that must be extended to the general public, both for the speaker to talk with explanations and applications to the theme that he had previously chosen, and among whom, after being appointed with sufficient time for its preparation, upon the director's indication, he may be qualified to give clarification to his listeners when in this section, open to debates, someone questions him with arguments contrary to what he was directed to the assistants in general. You should use all the means available to you to claim your position of United Order in the last days, not only because of the sealed record that will be manifested to you, but mainly because of the authentic gospel restored by me by the hand of God, my servant Joseph Smith Jr., to which only you have been made to understand in these last days, in the way you, before calling the people to assist you, spread the message of the gospel like mists in the wind, as the Latter-day Saints know, emphasizing between its lines a simple summary of the essential doctrines of the covenant, which I restored at the opening of this last dispensation. Okay. I'm going to stop there because, like, this is all over the place in my head. I don't know what I just read.
Sort of things like our group. We have a lesson, we have comments, we have back and forth. So it sort of feels okay. Like us. I mean that in a good way. Oh, you guys.
If anyone wants to paraphrase what I'm reading, that'd be awesome.
Anybody want to take a stab at it? I think the beginning of it is saying that he's put forth that, you know, we've been given the blueprint to follow. That we should do everything we can to spread the word?
I think the end of that verse helps us understand the first part of the verse.
Shall okay. I keep going?
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, but it is interesting. It's like a model how we should do things. If they come to sign the United Order, so a while ago before, I don't know if the School of Prophets questions the form. Was that the beginning of the United Order also, Brother Robert?
I think so.
Is that a question for Robert?
For yes. Bob, sorry.
Could you repeat that, please, sister?
Yes. We signed out the forms for the School of Prophets. Was it also like a starting sign for organizing the United Order? Or would it be?
Oh, I didn't have anything to do with the processing of those forms. Only thing I know is Brother Mauricio said that the people who have started going through the School of the Prophets and they've attended this classes in June, July, and August, or was it May, June, and July, the first session, and proceed, then graduate from that and proceed into the second 3-month section, which would be then what, July, August, September, ends about the time shortly before conference, he said from that group, a few families would be chosen to start the United Order. That's what I remember. So, but that's in a, all done by a higher pay grade than mine. So,
yeah. So what we read just now is not happening yet. Before, however, correct, that they came to sign the United Order, according to the model that I revealed to you, so that was just an observation I wanted to share. Because there's so much in this verse, we could go on, but like every sentence has something in there almost. And it seems like with the dot and the comma, it starts something new, like assistance in general, and then the dot and the comma, I don't know how you call it, but and then you should use all the means available to you to claim your position of the United Order in the last days. Seems like two different sections, but yeah. We could also go on, Lisa, but I understand your
I can keep reading. Brain makes. We can go back. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure what I think I left off, left aside in some ways by the people of my church in these last days, comma, following the example of my apostles in the meridian of the times, who made use of the written word to attract those whom the Holy Spirit selected among the multitude of Jewish countrymen, to whom the seeds of truth were sown, and many of whom touched their hearts. Whatever means you use, they will be the seeds of truth to be sown on the various types of soil. And when a researcher is attracted, then it is up to you to show him the way with full clarity. So now that's talking about missionary work. I can gather that. And how we need to sow a lot more seeds. And then when the Holy Spirit prepares someone, we can then start to, you know, especially water, maybe nurture.
What's interesting to me from a non-LDS background is it seems that this verse and the verse before it's emphasizing missionary work among the LDS, those who were prepared to what did it say about continue the process of restoration or whatever it said there, that and talked about not wasting your time on the verse before, to concentrate on those that have some connection with the restoration movement in 1830. To me, that's quite a statement.
Well, I thought it was interesting. In talking about using the LDS movement, clear back in verse 32, it talked about going to their fast and testimony meeting and standing up and bearing testimony in their meetings on that Sunday. That's interesting.
It could partly be also that Brother Mauricio and I think nearly everyone else in Paliosa has from the LDS. And so it has to start to grow somewhere. But the Lord did say that this work will proceed through the Fibonacci sequence process to cover all of South America and extend beyond. And so I'm thinking it may encompass other people who aren't affiliated with the LDS presently, but
yeah, I think that the LDS church is going to be shaken before that really takes off.
I think it's already shaken. It just isn't widely spoken of yet. I think there's a lot of people out there who are very, very much wanting to find out what's wrong with the church and why, why they have the feeling that they need to seek other things. So I think when, as we grow, when Mauricio's name and the name of Brazil gets stronger, it will be more noticeable. And then people in Utah will stand up more and take a, you know, like, oh, what's going on? Kind of like tipping the scales.
It's interesting, in 52b it says, but just as I sent my disciples on the meridian of times, and then in 53 it says, on the last part, following the example of my apostles in the meridian of time. So the disciples and the apostle in the meridian of times are a big example of us. It's interesting, the written word, because Mauricio has asked us to share our information on Facebook with the different posts that he or that is being put on there. So that's also written. So yeah. We need to write more, I think. I'm thinking about making a little flyer to give to people, you know, on the street.
We did that. Yeah, but I live in, at that
time. Your flyer, but then
a bigger one, a different one. And I think
yes, it was or a bigger one.
Yes. Yeah.
With what?
I think we had good response. I think that's so. Russell's holding it up.
Yes.
I
think it was, yes.
It was good to have that and the cards. We made new cards, but.
But there is now another website, which is wonderful. I really like the website to share with people. So.
I would like to have something that was the same, universal, that was printed by Brazil. You know, we could print our own if we had a time to work from, that they would, you know, approve universally for everybody to use, and that we would be able to print. Then they wouldn't have to mail us stuff. They would just email us the way to do it, the template of it, and we could all ourselves get it printed.
Yep.
So then, you know, you can have it instantly in all the countries that we're in.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good.
That's an idea for later.
All right. So maybe. Bob and Steve have more on their list. Did you get that, Bob?
Well, I had a, I wasn't going to say anything, but before I left Missouri, on the day I left, no, the day before, actually, I received some business cards that I had made up. I was getting a little worried they wouldn't be ready, but they came in at the last minute, and I gave out those cards to practically everyone I met on my journey. Well, no, a lot of people, you know, the people I sat next to, the lady at the Customs and Border Control, and everybody in the hotels. When I bought something at the restaurants, I gave them this card, and there wasn't anybody who said, I don't want that. I mean, they all seemed interested. It generated a few conversations. One lady saw the word Mormon, and she spent like 10 minutes telling me all about the Mormon church where she used to live. And I mean, but so it is effective to have something to give people. And I had found nobody who refused it. And so I thought it was, that's, it's a good thing.
Well, maybe we can implement that as a, another way to spread the gospel. I would like to see that happen. I mean, tried. Lisa got him made up, and but then everything changed. So I have a stack of them, and I don't know if they're appropriate to use or not. I think so. I am also like you guys. Verse 53 was big, long, and had a lot of information that I really didn't have answers to. I'm glad we kind of sorted some of it out. Probably still don't understand all of it. But 54 definitely says something about the people in the past and where are we now. What time is it? Okay. So 54 and 55, I think one of you already said that, you know, going to the fast and testimony meetings and standing up there and bearing a testimony of Mauricio and the sealed book, that kind of is like 54, and then 55 is the result of what we might face when we do that. I always am so happy with Balki and Harm because you guys have already been doing this, and I know you already felt this. So I commend you guys.
People are really friendly. People are really friendly. Sometimes you get a strange look. We had it this morning also. The missionaries were not very enthusiastic to see us. They looked a little scared. But there were some members, and we drank. We were almost walking out of the building, and they said, "Hey, do you want a cup of coffee?" And I'm like, "Coffee? What's going on?" But they meant the fake coffee.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we had a great conversation with some people. So
good.
We'll see. Good. But they're I didn't feel like a sheep. No,
the
like it says here, 55. But no, I was okay. But there might become days that they are refusing entry. But
yeah,
that's not.
The very last sentence of that verse, I think, kind of sums it up about our demeanor when we are doing this.
Which verse?
Balkia, could you read that? Verse 55, the very last sentence.
Yes. So therefore, I advise you, as in the days of old, to be prudent as serpents and harmless as doves. It's also in Matthew 10, verse 16.
Yeah, and it turns out that that's a different in the Joseph Smith translation.
Hey.
It's wise as servants and harmless as doves.
Prudent as servants.
Yeah, servants instead of serpents.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. But I think it means to show love in everything that you're doing and all your communication. And plant the seed because the Lord is going to take it from there.
And in fact, I think... Bob, you can correct me, or Steve as well. It seems like when we were in discussions in April that we decided to use the Joseph Smith translation of the scriptures. Is that correct?
I don't remember.
I forget the conversation.
Well, I remember when there was some discussion about it, and Melva particularly was quite concerned when it almost looked like we were not going to use, we're going to use only the King James Version. And Melbo, I think, was pretty concerned. And so then I put up digital translations of, the reason being Mauricio was concerned because they don't have a Portuguese version of the inspired version. but I showed how, didn't matter which translation you used, that you still got the meaning using digital translations. And it's much better to use Joseph Smith's words than to be stuck with only the King James. And I thought he agreed at that time that, yeah, okay, then we can use the inspired version.
Well, he did. And he's not taking a stand or demanding people to use one or the other. The point is that I think to me that's most important is if you use the King James Version, for those of us who have access to the Joseph Smith translation, check the verse before you quote it in the King James, because you might be quoting something that's incorrect, you know, in the places where Joseph made corrections. And that's so important to me because it kind of boils down to being a purveyor of false doctrine if you're not careful.
Yeah, and I think it was Sam Gould that pointed out this particular one in Matthew 10, 14, 16, that Matthew 10, 14 in the Joseph Smith translation has it different.
And in Joseph Smith, it says servants.
It says servants, yes.
But here it says serpents, and this is newly revealed scripture. So is it quoted wrong? Or this is now interesting, of course.
Yes, yes.
Be careful on what you're reading. When the three men recorded Angel Moroni's words over what I think it's as much as it will in a several year period. Sometimes it recorded on Brother Joni's phone, and sometimes on Valdez's, sometimes on on someone else's. It's my understanding, and then they combined them. It was Moroni spoke ancient dialect of Portuguese, and so then Brother Valdez was the one that I know of, translated that to modern Portuguese. And then this has gone through another man performed or machine performed translation into English. And so what the original intention of Brother Moroni, I don't know. So this just kind of gives us an idea of what was said. Let's not find places to entrench ourselves or, you know, based on the words here, but just take it, the general ideas, and just keep that in mind of how it came down to us. This is not a revelation that came directly to Brother Mauricio in English.
Okay. I think we're... watching the clock here, I think we're going to go ahead and stop the recording. Is that okay?